Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant! Bale getting it around and scoring for Tottenham!
And still Ricky Villa. What a fantastic run! He scored! And he's away, Aaron Lennon! Crouch! Yes!
Welcome back to another season of Tottenham Hotspur with the world's most dangerous Tottenham podcast, Wheeler Dealer Radio. I am your host, Skip Jack, and we are joined today by an all-star panel of powerhouses. Drafting his fifth fantasy team of the season, we have my faithful sidekick, Lennon's Eyebrow. Ben, say hello.
I got Eric Lamella, so the season's going to be great.
I'm sure that'll end well. We also have the head of Cartilage Free Captain, Kevin McCauley. Kevin, say hello.
I feel like we should explain this to people who either don't play fantasy sports or who are used to playing fantasy football, as in association football, soccer. In American sports leagues, fantasy leagues, generally you either have an auction or a draft where each team, each person who's playing the game can only have, a player can only be on one team. It's not like Fantasy Premier League where there's like prices and you can fill it in. And Fantasy Premier League sucks, by the way. I can't believe it's so popular. And what site are you doing this draft thing on, Ben? Or did you guys like figure it out yourselves?
It's fantrax.com, who aren't sponsoring the podcast, but probably should after this delightful plug. But yeah, they're the only site that I found that does it.
That's amazing that there's only one site that does it.
I think there, if you're in England, like, I think Yahoo UK does it a little bit, but we...
Really?
I don't think we could. I was looking into this last year, and it was like, you couldn't access it or something. But...
Anyway, if you've never played before, if you've only played the official, like, Premier League game or similar games on, I know MLS has a similar game, and ESPN has them for, like, Champions League and World Cup and stuff, the draft way is way better, and if you... like playing regular Fantasy Premier League, once you do the draft, you'll probably like it way better and get totally hooked on it.
Your ability to trash talk other people. So for you English people, the ability to deliver bants to your fellow competitors is much higher when only one person has any given player.
Yeah, you can't go like talk shit to your friends and be like, oh, Daniel Sturridge hat trick, killing it for my fantasy team. And your friend's going to be like, yeah, I have Daniel Sturridge too.
Yeah, so basically all those, like, bants you throw at, like, Liverpool fans, you can actually throw at your friends who might hate Liverpool but have Daniel Sturridge on their team. So it's pretty great. But we have the Premier League starting up this week. Tottenham Hotspur will kick off their season at West Ham United. I think it's nice that we're starting our season at a zoo. But we are kicking off, and we immediately have an opportunity to wash the bad taste out of our mouth of last year, where we lost to West Ham not once, not twice, but three times under two awful managers. It was terrible.
And I'm really terrified of doing it again.
I can't work out if this is a good matchup for us or not, because on the one hand... this team has not played a competitive fixture under Pochettino together. But on the other, West Ham has not seen this team play a competitive fixture under Pochettino. So I don't know who that favors. Ben, what do you think?
I mean, you never want to start the season in a big rivalry game. It's always harder than it should be. Any other mid-table shit side like West Ham, I'd feel great about starting against. But there's just so much else going on in those matches that shit can happen, and I don't really feel thrilled by that. But I would absolutely love to get the season off on the right foot by dicking West Ham completely.
Yeah, I think in some ways it's a great opportunity for Pochettino, because if we go in there and beat West Ham away, like, automatically we're feeling pretty great about everything. But it's a tough fixture, and I think this plays into something that we could talk about. We don't know what this team's going to look like. Kevin, you helped write SB Nation's preview for the Premier League, and I think that pointed out we don't know what Spurs are going to look like this year, right?
Yeah, and we got some replies from people on Twitter and Facebook like, I don't think those are the guys who are going to start. And it's like, I mean, I don't really either. Like, we don't really fucking know who's going to start in midfield, who's going to start up top. Really, the only lockdown starters, like guys we know are going to start, are Christian Eriksen, Eric Lamella, Hugo Lloris, and right now, just because Kyle Walker is injured, Kyle Naughton. The other seven spots are completely up in the air, and you could put any seven guys in those spots, and I'd think, yeah, that's a reasonable team. I could see Pochettino throwing that squad out there.
So, as long as it's not a Holtby Bentaleb midfield, yeah, I agree with
you. I mean, I could, but like, you could see that, right? Like,
I see not it. I wouldn't love it.
You would love it. You're the worst. I could see a world in which that happens. Hopefully that world is the last 20 minutes when we're up by six. But I could see a world where that happens. Kevin, do you think, your best guess, what do you think we're going to look like? Not in terms of personnel on the field, but style, given what you've seen, in preseason, all that sort of stuff. What's your best guess on what kind of Tottenham team we're going to see on Saturday?
Well, it's going to be fun, and like actual fun, not like Andre Villas-Boas, like, oh, yeah, we want to play beautiful football, and then it's just, like, this horrible robotic shit that nobody likes watching at all, and it's just horribly boring. I don't think we're going to get that at all. I think it's actually going to be really entertaining, high-pressure stuff, trying, like, vertical passes through balls, actually trying to do things and being more concerned with, you know, creating as opposed to keeping the ball. We'll probably win possession battle against most teams. West Ham is going to be one of them, but it's not going to be the primary concern of this team, which is nice.
Yeah, I think under AVB, too often winning the possession battle was an end and not a means. Because honestly, I don't care if we have 30% of the ball as long as we're scoring. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Like, this is basically everything that was bad about Arsenal until like last year for like 8 years.
Yes. I think what's fascinating to me is Pochettino in a lot of ways reminds me of Roberto Martinez when he was at Wigan, in that you saw a lot there and you just sort of wondered what he could do with sort of a bigger, better squad. Now, obviously Southampton was a much better team than Wigan, because they just had more resources.
Martinez is a miracle worker. Those Wigan teams are awful.
But my point is, like, I feel the same way about Pochettino, and that I'm very curious to see what he can do with upgraded resources, which he now has at Spurs.
Well, he certainly has upgraded resources. It might be another couple transfer windows before he has a considerably better squad. I mean, this squad is better than Southampton's squad last year, but by what degree, I'm not really sure.
Well, that goes into sort of looking at the bigger picture of the season. I think of the top six, Spurs are one of three teams, and I'm not saying we're better than these teams, I'm just saying I think Spurs are one of three teams that you really don't have a great idea of what they're going to look like this year. I think Liverpool falls into that category, and I think United fall into that category. I think everyone's assuming off the back of Van Gaal's reputation that United are going to be much better, and the fact that United are spending silly money in this window. And I think,
well, I think people are assuming that not just because of Van Gaal's reputation and the money United are spending, but because they've looked really good in their preseason games.
Well, yeah,
now,
yes,
of course, we all know that the one preseason we've gone undefeated in the last 10 years is the 2.8 game season. So,
well,
results
this would be
don't
the second go. One. So,
yeah, yeah. Just so everybody knows,
so we're going to hire Harry Redknapp again.
This preseason is foreshadowing things to come. But United's like they're playing well, and they seem to like understand the concepts. And I think it also helps for United right now that Darren Fletcher looks like 4 years ago Darren Fletcher, and it's really helping them a lot. Yeah,
so
he's got that whole
his bowels are intact for a change.
Yeah, he had some like horrible bowel disease. Well, I don't remember what exactly it was, but.
I think it was basically he couldn't stop shitting himself.
Like, yeah, but it took forever to get back for fitness after he got that fix. But like, he actually looks fit now, and Van Gaal seems to not be stupid enough to play Mauro and Fellaini in a two-man midfield, which is nice. And Ander Herrera looks really, really good. I think that United's actually going to be pretty awesome this year.
I think they've got a low bar to clear. I think not having Champions League football or Europe at all is going to really help them.
Yeah, it's going to help them like it helped Liverpool last year.
And this might be naive of me from watching the World Cup, because Van Gaal did do a lot very well in that World Cup. But there's part of me that thinks, how is Van Hall going to respond to getting punched in the face when that happens?
He also made a lot happen with a pretty crappy squad at the Netherlands. Like,
yeah, but
he made Von Vlaar look like a world beater.
Costa Rica took them to the limit, and I mean, I'm just
Costa Rica also took Italy, England, and Uruguay to the limit.
Yeah, I think. No, the Netherlands are supposed to be better than all those other teams.
I mean, all Costa Rica did was play a very strong defensive game with good counterattacking.
You're right. You'll never see that in the Premier League.
I don't think, you know, in a knockout tournament, it's like the only onus on a team is don't lose. And I don't think they're going to see as compact sides, you know, as they did in the World Cup. And also, I mean, as Spurs fans, we look at, okay, we had a very talented squad, and now we have a real manager, and we expect that to make an automatic difference. This Man U squad isn't that far removed from the squad who won the title 2 years ago, you know, and now they have a real manager. To think that they're not going to be in the top four seems incredibly
high. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I'm not entirely sold, if only because I don't think they fixed their midfield issues yet.
Well, no, they're still going to have to buy. If they don't pull the trigger on Vidal, they're going to have to go get somebody else. As good as Herrera and a now-fit Fletcher are, and as much as that improves them, it certainly doesn't fix all of their problems.
I mean, Valencia only lost to them on, like, you know, Fellaini scoring a stoppage-time goal. Was that today?
I didn't see today's game because I was watching the Super Cup, the Madrid game.
Yeah, I only caught highlights, but... You know, I don't know. I'm just not. I don't think we know entirely what United.
I think the biggest difference between those team between the Netherlands and Man United, though, is that Juan Mata and Adnan Januzaj are a hell of a lot better than Wesley Sneijder is at this point in his career.
True, but I don't know. It's
don't forget Shinji Kagawa.
Yeah, I mean Kagawa is better than Sneijder is at this point.
We say that, but like all these guys leave Dortmund and don't succeed anywhere else, so. Until he could somehow coax a performance out of Kagawa outside of Dortmund, I'll believe it when I see it.
So what do we? I mean, how fast do we think Spurs are going to hit the ground running here? Like, do we think that we're going to look like world beaters against West Ham? And
I have no idea. You look at Spurs. Our defense isn't settled yet. I think we can safely say we're going to get. Is it Musacchio? Is that how you say his name?
Yeah.
Musacchio from Villarreal. I think that's going to happen, probably.
The rumor today is that it might be falling apart.
Yeah, that seems like...
Yeah, whatever.
That seems like posturing. I think he's gone.
I mean, third-party ownership seems to be a real bugbear for us, you know?
Yeah, except Levy signed
Levy never
center.
Feels like he
needs... Except they just signed another center back, and they need the money, and it's...
Yeah,
they're gonna
this
make
isn't
it
us. This is like... They've got
no, but that's the issue,
out.
Is that they need the money, but they're not getting enough of the money.
They'll figure out how to get enough of the money. They can't not sell him. They can't afford to do that.
We're offering a lot of money for this guy. And Villarreal are a poorly run club, but they do need... I don't think they can afford to turn down deals.
Yeah, and the option that they got to buy on Victor Ruiz is like half of what they get for Mustacio, even in this crappy deal where they only get, you know, like something like 60% of the fee. The option to buy Ruiz, the guy that they just brought in, is like half of what they get. So it's going to happen. It might take another couple weeks and be a bunch of bullshit, but it's going to go through.
But so the problem we have is we're not going to have a full defensive line, I think, until late October when Walker's back.
Well, I mean, we've got Vertonghen in full training and Cobble's been playing preseason games.
Yeah,
looks fine.
And Davies looked fine to me. I think he's ready to start.
It's still terrifying.
Well, I think Naughton's fine on there. We all remember him on the left, and it's like...
No,
Kyle
Naughton is a reasonable, serviceable backup.
Yes, exactly. And he's reasonable to the point where if he's got to play a few games, that's fine. So we got a weird back line, but the rest of it is we've got the players. We just don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, you know, we don't have Schneiderlin, who we'll get to him later, but... We haven't sold Sandro yet, so we can play Sandro or Capu. I don't think that'll radically alter what Pochettino wants to do with this team. So,
I have no idea what two central midfielders are going to start against West Ham. Do you guys have guesses? Because
I would guess Capu and Benteleb. I mean, I don't know. Capu played a lot of preseason and he looked good. Sandro didn't play as much, so I feel like Pochettino will have more confidence in starting Capu just for the first game. And it seems like he wants a passing midfielder next to him. You know, Ryan Mason.
It's Ben Taleb. He's not going to start Ryan Mason against West Ham.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Mason looked good in preseason, but he doesn't really have any Premier League experience. Ben Taleb does, and he went to the World Cup. Like, he looks much readier.
Well, there's no other option to play back there. Unless you, if you play Dembele as a runner, you could do that. But the problem is, if you're just talking about a pure passer, like, Holpe can't do it. But even if he could, the way he's been played in the preseason is sort of this roaming pit bull terrier thing.
Well, he played against Schalke from deep, and I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah, you always think he has a really good game, though.
Well, he actually did. I mean, yes, he's positionally undisciplined, and that's a problem, but...
I don't see us taking that kind of risk in our first game of the season, though.
No, I mean, that's why I said Bentaleb.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Bentaleb. I think you're right. I could see Dembele playing if he just wants to play sort of a stout midfield.
So you guys aren't even considering Paulinho at all.
I'm just not considering any of the guys who we haven't seen in preseason yet. Vertonghen, Paulinho, Dembele, Chadli.
No, I don't. This think is any not me saying start. that I rate Paulinho or think he should start or is going to start. I just think we have to take into consideration that we have this guy that we paid $17 million for that was at the World Cup and starts for Brazil. And even though he wasn't good for us last year, he had flashes of brilliance. And he hasn't been one of the guys who we've heard is definitely going to get sold. So
I mean, who would buy him? Like,
as much as I'd rather see anyone over Paulinho, like I rate Bentaleb, Dembele, even Holpe, even Mason ahead of Paulinho. Like, I really don't think he's very good. I feel like that's what we're gonna see.
I feel like you got to drop this. You've got to drop Capu or someone. For if you're going to have Paulinho, because I feel like Paulinho plays the same sort of role as Dembele in a way, in that he's going to be back and forth. He's not going to be picking passes, or at least not many.
Well, except even if Dembele isn't like a good tackler and like isn't, you know, physical winning the ball back, he at least has like some positional discipline and like some idea of how to play if he's supposed to be the most defensive midfielder. Paulinho's clueless in that role.
I agree, and that's why I think it's either going to be Bentaleb or Dembele. And I if it's Dembele, I think it's because he wants a big, thick, sturdy midfield that can just like beat, that can stand up to West Ham and knock him around if we have to.
And really, that's kind of what you need against West Ham, because that's really what West Ham got us with last year.
Yes, but Andy Carroll's hurt, so he's not going to be trampling any of our defense.
No, but like in the middle.
What he killed was through the midfield last year.
You're right.
Yeah, it was Diame and Morrison and...
Oh, he's not going to be an issue.
And if you want just a midfielder who could close dudes down, I mean, you could do worse than Dembele. I mean, he's big.
Exactly.
He can scramble. He can move quick. I mean, he can recover a little bit. It's I don't know. It's because we tried so much crap out in the preseason, and I mean, we're not going to show our full hand in the preseason.
So this is the case for Holtby, is that against West Ham, you want the most, like, the nastiest, most energetic dude to, you know, force Mark Noble into turnovers and then get running at their center backs who aren't very quick. And if that's really your main objective and you think probably the most likely way you're going to score against West Ham, the guy for that job is Holtby, even if I think in most games I really don't want to start Lewis Holtby.
I don't want to start Lewis Holtby in this game. He concedes too much possession. I mean, it's...
That's true. And I guess against a team that's going to do like a physical, fast counterattack through the middle with dudes like Morrison and Diame, that's
he'll
kind
close
of
close dudes down, and he might cause some turnovers, but I feel like he's going to get knocked off the ball and make a sloppy pass. And I just don't like Holtby in this game. I don't like Holtby, period, but I really don't like him in this game. I mean, what do we think the front's going to be? Are we playing Adebayor?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Adebayor up top, and then I think it'll be Eriksen, Lamella, and probably Lennon for this first game.
I think Lennon deserves to start. No, I mean, Chadley's not fit yet. No one else has impressed me more than him in that role. I thought he did have a decent preseason.
I'm one of the people who doesn't really care for Andros Townsend.
He's so profligate, and I don't trust Andros Townsend in a game. And it's probably not fair to him because he's so young, but like... He was all preseason. He was shooting too much, which is concerning to me that he hasn't worked that out of his system yet.
I really don't feel like Townsend shot too much during preseason.
I don't know. I felt like he was taking ill-advised shots pretty frequently whenever I was watching games.
So the point that I do want to make about Townsend, though, is that in preseason when he was played on the left, he was really effective.
His poor decision-making seems to be constrained on the left for whatever reason.
Well, because he can't cut in to shoot.
Yes, and he did. This happened last year, too.
And that's like his stupid go-to when he's on the right and like he doesn't know what to do. His default is, okay, I'm going to cut on my left foot and I'm going to shoot, which is, you know,
it's
extremely
awesome.
Wasteful.
If you're Gareth Bale, you can get away with that, but you're not Gareth Bale, Andreas Townsend.
No, and when he's on the left, his default is, I'm going to try to run towards the end line and then like cut back to the penalty spot, which is way more effective and less wasteful than the, you know, cut inside and rip from 20 yards.
Yeah. You know, play him on the left, he's physical. He might be able to give West Ham some problems, but I would still rather put Lennon out there, make Townsend a sub.
So now that we're talking about these guys like Townsend and Holtby, we should probably talk about this Telegraph article that we were discussing before the show.
Oh, so, yeah, the Telegraph put out an article saying Levy's got a list of 11 players that he's ready to sell. Naturally, I've seen a lot of Spurs fans overreact to this. I think it's, you know, I think there's probably 11 players we're ready to sell. That does not mean we're going to sell all 11 players.
No. And I'll read the list real quick so everyone knows they are there. Townsend, Lennon, Soldado, Dawson, Benny, Naughton, Kirakesh, Sandro, Kapu, Chadley, and Dembele are the players we are all apparently willing to listen to offers for. And, of course, we're not actually going to sell 11 players. It'll probably turn out that we sell, you know, one winger, one center back, and then probably one midfielder.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we sold Townsend. He's homegrown. He's English. He's still, as much as I was just dumping on him, he's still very young. There's nothing to say he can't become a serviceable winger. I don't know. I think all these guys are expendable to some extent.
So if we're selling one of Townsend, Lennon, or Chadley, who should it be?
Chadley. You won't get any money for Lennon.
Well, I mean, are you going to get any money for Chadley?
You'll get more than you will for Lennon.
I mean, Chadley, at least, sure Chadley has an overseas market that I think the English players don't. You know, English players don't like to leave England, and nobody seems to want to buy them. You know, we could sell Chadley to Spain or Germany or wherever.
Well, especially because your potential candidates to buy a guy like that are kind of already, it's not going to work. Like, Leicester's strongest position is on the wing. Burnley's not trying to spend money. QPR's already got too much money tied up in Sean Wright Phillips. Hall just brought in Inton Snodgrass. You know, we're kind of running out of places to potentially sell him.
Right. That's why I think Chadley makes the most sense, because he can go overseas in a way that these other guys can't.
Yeah, I could see him going to a Wolfsburg or something, you know, some team on that level. I mean, easily buying him. But, Chadley's still one of those. But I mean, I still think he was like a purchase we made before we got rid of Gareth Bale, and then we started making other purchases. But
so the thing with basically Sandro and Dembele being available for sale, meaning we'll sell whichever one of them we get the better offer for, is that it seems like Mauricio Pochettino doesn't really want a true holder, especially because we're trying to buy Morgan Schneiderlin.
Are probably contingent on Schneiderlin.
Yeah, but it seems like if we're trying to sell one of those guys and bring in Schneiderlin, that Pochettino doesn't really want to play with a true holder. You know, he wants both of his pivot players to be able to kind of get forward and
to be
press.
Real pivot players.
Yeah, he wants both of his pivot players to be
actual pivot players.
That is what a pivot means.
You guys are going to have to work me through that. I don't understand Tottenham Hotspur using pivot players in the way they were meant to. That's so confusing and terrifying to me. I don't need that actually explained to me. Sorry.
So, I mean, in that sense, it makes sense that he'd be willing to sell Sandro, because Sandro is really, I mean, he's just a holder. Which is great. I think he's awesome at it, and I like him. But, you know, as a starter in Pochettino's system, he doesn't exactly fit.
I don't think that's it. Look, I think at the end of the day with Sandro, it comes down to if there's a team willing to pay us real money for him, I think we're going to cash in, because that dude can't stay healthy. And as much as it would pain me to see that happening, I understand the logic of that.
It also pains me that Dembele is on this list and Paulinho is not.
Well, that's because we're not. I mean, all those rumors about Chelsea coming in for Paulinho, we all took them way more seriously than we
should
have.
Well, we heard the Juventus one.
Juventus is making... I mean, if Vidal goes, Paulinho...
That's Juventus. That's Italy. That's like any... Like, some Italian team always wants to buy a player who has, at some point in their career, had a reputation as a defensive midfielder.
Well, I mean, but he's actually a decent he's not a decent Vidal replacement.
Think about what you were about to say.
Yeah, Vidal is irreplaceable, as replacements go. Yeah,
exactly. That's the point, is Vidal is irreplaceable. But if you're going to buy a midfielder to play in that position, you can do a hell of a lot worse than Paulinho. I mean, I'm just saying that just in case any Juventus fans listening and wants to talk themselves into this, I mean, it'd be a fucking horrible buy, but please
maybe,
do it.
Maybe
somehow
the Atletico
Juventus fans have influence on the chairman to make these purchases.
They probably do.
Juve might be the only club in Spain where that's not true, to be fair.
Juventus are in Spain?
Italy. Sorry, I just got back from Spain this week. It's been a long week, guys. Juve might be the only team in Italy where the fans don't have that kind of influence on the chairman. But maybe Atletico Madrid can give them some tips from their We Don't Want Soldado group.
Which, I have no idea why they would take Soldado on loan, especially because they'd have to pay all his wages.
That's not happening. That's just Soldado's been bad in England, and maybe he'll go back to Spain. It's those rumors. There's nothing to that. But so, bouncing off of this a little bit into some transfer talk, do we think Schneiderlin's coming to Spurs?
Yes.
Ben?
Who the fuck knows of Southampton?
They bought Safir Taider as a replacement. They're going to say he's not a replacement because they got to save face. They're going to wait to the deadline day, and they're gonna be like, "Oh, it was an offer we couldn't refuse, and you know he's being a dick, so we decided to get rid of him." But they know. I mean, they wouldn't bring in Taider if they really intended on keeping Schneiderlin.
So we've got two players that look like we're going to get, but probably not till later due to different things in Musacchio and Schneiderlin. Is there anyone else we think is still coming
in? We'll get someone who plays as a winger and then sell one of our wingers. I don't know if it'll actually be Depay or Thauvin or one of these bajillion other guys we're linked to, but I think we're linked to a lot of these guys because we're actually like sounding out a bunch of these guys, and I think we'll sign one of them.
Do we really think we're going to buy Depay? Especially if we buy Schneiderlin.
Yeah.
You think we could afford Musacchio, Schneiderlin?
Everton just spent $28 million on Lukaku and paid Gareth Barry's wages. Everton's broke as shit. This new TV deal is insane.
I hope you're right. I just can't see us spending that much money on those three guys.
I don't think you understand how crazy.
No, I understand how crazy the TV deal is. Spurs just generally don't spend that much money.
Like,
unless
we can
Gareth Bale.
We can afford to spend, you know, 15 to 20 million every window just, you know, before this new TV deal. We could afford to spend 15 to 20 million every window every summer without selling any players. We're going to sell some players, and we have this new TV money, and I'm sure that the team gets this new shirt sponsorship is worth more money. I'm sure we have God knows how many other sponsorships that are worth more money. This team has money. Spurs can spend, especially because we broke even last summer. Let's not forget that.
So
guys,
we have the Willian money lying around somewhere.
Yeah, we broke even last summer,
and
even though we spent $100 million. You know, like we didn't spend in January. Like, this team's just sitting on a fat fucking stack of cash
so,
right now.
Assuming we have the money to buy all these guys, and I think we're buying at least two of them. So that's, by all accounts, that's going to be about anywhere between, what, 40 to 50 million pounds if we buy Schneiderlin and Musacchio.
Yeah, and then we have the guys that we've already bought and then the guys who are probably going to sell.
Yeah.
It's going to end up being about 50 million pounds.
So let's assume, for the sake of argument, we have the money to get Depay, which is probably, what, 15 million pounds? Is that what he cost? Okay. So I think the problem with getting Depay, I think I'd love to get Depay. Like, I don't put too much weight in those stats.
I'm not really into Depay.
I think he'd be a great. I'd rather have him than Chadley on the team. I think he's exciting, but regardless of whether or not we want him or whether the fit he is, let's assume the team is targeting him. I think we're going to run into that old speed bump that we're all too familiar with of, up-and-coming player looks at Spurs, not the Champions League. It's going to be hard for Spurs to get in the Champions League, even though theoretically a player like Depay could help us do that. And he's either going to wait till a bigger team comes in for him or just go to a bigger team, or at least a team that has oil bucks somewhere.
Except I don't think a bigger team is necessarily interested in him right now.
Right and now, I think that's the trick.
And I think at this point, what opportunity is he going to have to get a bigger team interested in him?
Than
the World Cup.
He had
that opportunity, and he made a lot of it, but not necessarily the most of it. And now it looks like Spurs are the biggest team that are genuinely interested in buying him. That's okay, because if you do really well at Spurs, what happens is Real Madrid pays a shitload of money for you, or Manchester United pays a shitload of money for you.
It's a pretty good
move.
Oh, I hope that's true. And, you know, the fact that we were able to nab a guy like Christian Eriksen gives you hope for that.
Yeah, exactly. And Christian Eriksen is, you know, he's probably going to be amazing this year. And then we're going to have some fight to stay him and say he's not going anywhere. And he'll be even more amazing the next season. Then we'll sell him to one of the super clubs.
So let's call.
Sorry, everyone.
Let's call it now before we move on to other players. Kevin, you think we're getting Depay?
Him specifically, I don't know.
Okay,
we're gonna get one of
who's your first choice of those possible winger signings.
I haven't seen enough of Thauvin to say he's better or worse than Depay, but I like Depay a lot. I like him better than Douglas Costa, at least.
I think a front line of Depay, Eriksen, you know, striker of your choice, and Lamella is very interesting.
It's pretty awesome.
And they're all so young. I mean, that would be kind of great, I think. Ben, do you think we're going to get Depay?
I don't know. I'm going to, obviously we're shopping for a winger. I won't, you know, dispute that. That seems pretty apparent. But I don't know. I mean, it certainly doesn't seem like something that's going to happen soon.
That'll be a deadline day.
Oh, it's going to be a total, this year is going to be a total Levy special where we're doing stuff 2 hours ago.
So, I don't know. I think Lennon has looked really good in preseason. And I know everyone is tired of Lennon. He's never really delivered on the promise Lennon showed, blah, 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 blah.
How old is he at this point?
He's like 26. He's not that old.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah, I know. I always have to be reminded of that.
Aaron Lennon is 27.
Yeah.
So,
Aaron Lennon has played like 350 fucking games for Spurs.
Didn't we buy him when he was 19? I mean, he's been here forever.
Not even. Yeah. So that's the thing. I don't know. I think when you have guys like Lamella and Eriksen, who both don't do a lot of defensive work, are both trying to get into goal scoring positions and get really involved in the final third, someone who can kind of do the water carrier things, you know, move around, make the passes, cover for people. I think that's really valuable. And to have three guys who want to hang high up the pitch and try and score goals could leave us very, very vulnerable. And I don't know. I like Lennon there. I think he brings something different to the table alongside those guys that Depay or Thauvin or someone like that would not.
Well,
and I think, you know, you look at Chelsea and how quickly he was willing to dump Mata. Because not because Mata isn't great, but you know, when you have Hazard and Oscar and Willian and Sherla and whatever, I mean, Oscar does the hard work, but you can't have all of your attacking players only wanting to hang out upfield and attack. It's not really a recipe for success.
Yeah, I think the thing is, when you could argue this team has a real need for a guy like Schneiderlin. We clearly have a need for Musacia, but Depay is more of a luxury buy, even if we sell Chadli, because we still have Lennon and Townsend. I think that's a deal we only make on our own terms. We're not
and Holpe and Harry Kane, who can all play in those positions.
And Eriksen. I mean, we're only going to buy him if the price is right for us. We're not going to be forced into making any, you know, concessions on that. Whereas I could see us being held for ransom a bit on Schneiderlin and Musacchio. So, you know,
I really, as much as I like Morgan Schneiderlin, I really don't like the idea of selling Sandro or Dembele for like 10 million and then paying 20 for Schneiderlin.
Well, I mean, the trick you got with Sandro is that he's got 2 years left on his contract, and if he doesn't re-sign, which it looks like he isn't, then like you got to figure you got to make what you can with him.
Well, he doesn't want to re-sign because he didn't play much last year and doesn't look like he's first choice right now. And if he re-signs, it's not going to be for a shitload of money.
He'll be first choice
if Sandro's first choice this year and has a great season and doesn't get injured, then we'll offer him a new contract for a ton of money and he'll probably sign it.
I hope so, but he's been linked with Serie A almost since like the day of the.
What the hell does he want to go to Serie A for? It's not 1995.
Because they love defensive midfielders, but since the day after we beat AC Milan in the Champions League, he's been linked to them. League.
Hey, newsflash! AC Milan's not a big club right now. They don't have that much money.
No,
they have to nickel and dime over like 6-7 million euro defenders.
Well. Anyway, he's been linked with them, and if we're willing to get decent money from the league, I could see that totally happening. As much as I would hate to lose Sandro, because he is one of the guys with some genuine personality on this team, and he's a great player, but between his health issues and his contract stuff, I could see why the club would do that, even if I'm not wild about that decision.
But like, so we can spend $20 million on Morgan Schneiderlin.
Well, that's the other problem. So that $20 million, we've seen everything from 12 to 27 on Schneiderlin. Like,
which means if he gets sold, it'll be for about 20.
Probably a little less than that. But yeah, I would say probably 18, like Foligno got. But yeah, like if Morgan Schneiderlin's price tag is £27 million, we are not buying him. I think I can say that with a certain level of unless they're throwing Jay Rodriguez in. You know, to make the deal more palatable, I don't see that price tag flying with Levy. But who knows? We paid $18 million for Foligno. Anything is possible. Jesus Christ, we paid $18 million for Foligno. We sold Jermaine Genius, and now we bought Foligno.
We paid $18 million for Jermaine Genius.
Basically, but he's failing in Brazil too. Oh God. So moving on, the other big challenge at Spurs, the other unknown factor I think in the top six this year is Liverpool, who have had a season very much like Spurs had last year, where they sold their best player by a long shot, and now they've brought in a lot of replacements who I would categorize as both underwhelming and Kenny Dalglish signings.
And they're still going to play Steven Gerrard as their most defensive midfielder.
Steven Gerrard's going to be like Derek Jeter for them. They just won't take him out behind the outhouse. And
well, Derek Jeter is still like serviceable. I really can't overstate how bad Steven Gerrard is, and like how much he hurts Liverpool in England.
He cost them the title.
He cost England at the World Cup. They get, if they put a fucking scarecrow in there instead, they get out of that group. You really can't overstate how much Steven Gerrard hurts the teams he plays for right now. Which, like, I really hate saying, because he was an amazing player in his prime. Like, he was legitimately world class, and at his height, you know, like a top five player on earth. Like, he was amazing, and he's not now. He's just not. He's past it. And
well, the problem is he is not only a legitimate legend for Liverpool, he's a local boy, and he still has enough talent left in him that he will occasionally still have, like, a really good moment.
Well, and that's the – well, so, no, he has plenty of really good moments because, like, he can still pass.
Yeah, and like, he still hits a crazy shot from distance. But
he still hits amazing 60-yard diagonals and great through balls. But, like, he is a complete liability defensively.
But all these things mean Liverpool, because there is no team more inclined to play their aging hometown legend more than Liverpool. Like, on the planet, there is not a team more equipped to do that.
By the way, I don't think Liverpool have done enough to improve defensively. I think paying the amount of money they did for Lovren was absolutely ridiculous. And
it was necessary, though. I mean, they weren't. Who else were they going to get?
I don't know. Masaccio is better than Lovren, and we're going to pay less for him than they paid for Lovren.
But I think it's telling.
Lovren was like decent last year.
He was very good.
I didn't think he was that great.
It would
I,
make,
like, I, don't, I just
I'll disagree.
Don't. I don't think Dejan Lovren's anywhere close to a 20 million pound player. Like,
but they're getting, they're getting jacked up. They're getting jacked up like we did last year. They have to overpay a little bit on some of these guys because they know they've got this fat lump of money lying around. And even if they did sell Suarez, we know how much money Fenway's willing to spend on them. So.
They bought Lovren before they sold Suarez. And like back when people thought that Suarez
Well, they were always selling Suarez.
But back when people thought Suarez might Barcelona might not want him anymore because of the biting thing, like that's when they bought Lovren. Like they
But I'm sure Liverpool knew better.
Okay, but that, I don't think that Southampton knew like, oh yeah, these guys got $100 million to burn.
I'm not so sure about that. But the deal only got closed a while ago, so I wouldn't be surprised if they were trying to jack him up for a little bit more.
I mean, the thing with Southampton is once they sold one player for $25 million, they could afford to say, pay me $25 million for everybody else because they didn't need the money.
Well, then so don't go buy center backs from Southampton.
Well, but okay. So
I mean, don't buy Jose Font from Southampton. But
so Liverpool sold the best striker in the Premier League, in the world, I would say, the best striker in the world last year.
I mean, if we're not calling Messi a striker.
Who knows what.
Messi and Ronaldo, I guess. Or Ibrahim.
Ronaldo a striker? Out. Yeah, exactly. So, okay. Certainly best striker in England. We can all agree on that. And they have bought a bunch of, I don't know, it feels like Harry era English talent plus Lovren and Markovic. And Markovic seems
I like Emre Can. Emre Can was a really
good pick. Yeah, okay. Can was a good pick.
Can's a good pick. It's Can.
But
Whatever. Just be a douche about it.
But Markovic is he their star signing of this group?
Well, I think Markovic is.
No, it's Lallana's the star signing of the group, which tells
So Markovic is like a track star. He's unbelievable. Like, his speed is unbelievable. But he was really just okay for Benfica last year.
He doesn't have. I mean, they paid like Lamella money for him, didn't they?
That's like a long game. Like, they think he's gonna take a year to get settled in, probably not do that much this year, and then they're kind of hoping that down the line he's going to be a superstar. Obviously, Lallana is the guy that they assume is going to kind of fill the Suarez void because he's nothing like Suarez and nowhere near as good, but he's the guy who's going to replace him in the starting 11. And
boy, that feels like a weird bet to me.
That's a really big drop-off.
And we're discounting. I think people who think this isn't going to affect Sturridge's game are being overly optimistic.
Yeah, so you're going to have Sturridge up top with probably Sterling, Lallana, and Coutinho behind him. None of those players play defense.
So I have a really important question. Sorry to interrupt. Emmanuel Riviere or Brown Adey, who do you think is going to have a better season?
I think Brown Adey sucks. Right. I feel like I'm being very negative.
This has nothing to do with the fantasy draft I'm in the middle of right now, but it's a very important question that I just had to ask.
Thanks, Ben. We appreciate that.
So the issue with Riviere is that Newcastle have signed other forwards, but I really don't think that Adier Brown is any good.
Important to break down Liverpool season.
We're talking about Liverpool. So none of those three guys who were likely to play behind.
Well, Ricky Lambert. Defenses are going to cower in fear of Ricky Lambert.
They just signed Lambert as a backup, which is.
No, I get that.
He was only $4 million. Like, that's a good pickup.
I'm being reductive. But my point is.
They're going to play Emre Can or Jordan Henderson next to Steven Gerrard, and then three attacking midfielders don't play defense at all. And then their center backs are going to be okay players. Their fullbacks are really young players, or Glenn Johnson, who also doesn't play defense, even though he's a defender. They're going to be really fun.
Here's the thing.
They're definitely going to have defensive problems.
A lot of Liverpool's success last year was built on that insane attack, and it's like, and a lot of. I would argue their most effective defensive strategy last year was striking fear into other teams.
Yeah, exactly. Teams were terrified to attack them.
I mean, I'm not saying Liverpool's not going to be a good offensive team this year, but they're not going to have that, like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're still going to score plenty of goals, but, like, yeah, you're not going to have teams just, like, completely scared to commit numbers forward on the counter, because if they do and they don't score, like, it's an automatic goal the other way. I mean, that automatic goal the other way has been taken away.
I think we're going to find out what a manager Brendan Rodgers is, because they're not going to have Europe. They're going to be
No, having said all this, they obviously have the talent to both get out of their Champions League group and finish top four again. There's enough talent on this team to do that. But
it's going to be thin for them. Like,
I don't like the way they're set up. I don't like what they've done in the transfer window. And I just think they're really unbalanced and that it's just they're not going to have a good time.
Well, so we need two of those teams to falter. The other team that I think we could all agree City and Chelsea are going to be 1 and 2, probably.
Yeah.
Arsenal's probably going to be 3 or 4, as much as I hate to admit it.
Alexis Sanchez is a brilliant
signing.
Yeah,
but they also ruined Mesut Ozil. So here's the thing.
They didn't ruin Mesut Ozil.
I'm being reductive. So here's the thing. If Arsenal's decline in form last season was not just injury-based, I could see them having troubles this year. They always have this half-season malaise, though.
Well, that's the thing with Arsenal is, like, at this point, with all of their injury problems, you can't tell me that there's not something wrong with the way they train or their physical therapist or their nutrition program or something. Like, something's fucked up there. This isn't an accident that this happens every single year.
And I think you're going to see Arsenal be sort of more of what they were last year. I think they're going to be the ultimate flat-track bully, and I think that's going to be good enough to keep them top four, but they aren't going to win the title.
They're definitely not going to win the title. But
they're going to beat the snot out. They're going to beat the snot out of all the bad teams. They're probably going to drop one or two games against the mid-table club, and they'll split their games against the top six.
I mean, Chelsea are very comfortably the best team in the league, and I hate to say that, but I really don't think we're going to have much of a title race this year.
I mean, if Aguero stays healthy for a while, if Yaya's head is in the game,
if Jovetic comes good, Mangala
is really good. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, Man City is not shitty. Like, they were a really good team last season.
And
they will push. I think they'll push Chelsea all the way.
I think there's an outside chance if everything goes United's way, they could be in the title hunt. But same with Arsenal. I just don't think everything's going to go Arsenal's way, because I think Wenger gets outcoached too much for my taste. I mean, you just look at that FA Cup final and it's like, you know.
How good Chelsea did last year, how close they were to the title last year with just, like, the awful group of strikers that they had and having to play Azpilicueta left back, and they had Matic cup-tied in Champions League. So, you know, they weren't necessarily competitive on that front because they didn't have their best midfielder there. Chelsea in general are just really, really good right now.
So,
and I think they're gonna be seriously competitive for all four trophies.
So regarding their new striker, two questions for you guys. One, do we think Costa is what they need up front? And two, is Costa's sort of pit bull, dirty player game going to survive the Premier League?
Yeah. I mean, of course it's going to survive the Premier League. He's going to get away with way more.
Is he going to turn into Suarez is what I mean. Are all the refs just going to be looking out for, like...
Well, no, because he's not he doesn't dive, he doesn't bite people. He's just, you know...
He doesn't
just
bite
very
people, but he's cheap as hell. Like,
well, he's just an extremely physical player. He's also smart enough to tone it down when he gets a yellow card. I remember there were just so many Atletico Madrid games where, like, he looks like he's just psycho and going in two-footed on people, and then he gets a yellow card and, like, he figures out how not to get another one. He's very calculated. He knows what he's doing.
So, Ben, do you think he's what Chelsea needs up front?
I think he is the closest thing to Didier Drogba they could possibly find in the universe right now.
And they bought
Didier
Drogba.
That's the only striker that... and Didier Drogba. No, I think he's the absolute perfect signing for Chelsea.
It makes me a little sad that Atletico loses these strikers every year.
Yeah, and by the way, if you haven't seen Kurt Zuma, he's awesome. And even though they totally overpaid for Fabregas, he's probably going to have a really good season.
Oh, Fabregas. There is a certain...
Yeah, he looks really good
now. As much as I hate that he went there, it does, just the sort of banter with Arsenal makes me happy.
And same thing with Felipe Luis. Like, maybe they overpaid for him, but he's better than Ashley Cole. He's a better left back than Azpilicueta, and he's going to improve that team. Chelsea's just really good.
Well, the sad thing is that it seems like Mourinho coming back has sharpened their transfer strategy, and they've abandoned their "let's buy whoever's hot now" strategy that they
only,
had for
only
a long
one
time.
More year of only one more year of paying Torres' wages.
That still makes me really happy. So we sort of laid out, I think those are, that's the where the top six looks like. We've talked about this a little bit amongst ourselves, but where do you see Spurs finishing this year, Ben?
I mean,
or
I
what
think,
kind of season do you see for Spurs?
I mean, I think we'll have a much better season than last year.
Well, that would be very difficult to not do.
So, but. I mean, the thing with the top four race is it's probably us, Liverpool, and Man U, right? So the question is, does Pochettino and our signings improve us more than Van Gaal is improving Man United? And did Liverpool get worse enough that we can overtake them?
I think the answer to both questions is no.
But I don't think either of those possibilities is unrealistic. I think it might be unlikely, but I don't think it's unrealistic.
I don't know. I think a 30% chance for all three of us, or maybe they've got 35 apiece and we've got 30.
I don't put our chances that high. I think that Liverpool and Man United are both quite a bit better than us. Not that we're bad.
I'm not sure that both are, but the chances of both of them being worse than us.
Yeah, they're really tiny. And I think that we are kind of accepting that we're in a transitional year, that it's going to take two summers to get rid of the guys we don't like. It's going to take two summers to get a team in place that Pochettino likes. And I really just want to see us, you know, just like play good football and not be embarrassing and comfortably finish sixth and compete for fourth place, be within, you know, sight of it for a while and, you know, actually give those teams a good run. And then, you know, next summer actually start to put the pieces together so that the next year, you know, we're feeling like, you know, it's fourth or bust.
Yeah, I think we're at a weird place where I think we're all a lot calmer after last year, because last year felt like...
Well, just because it's not going to get worse.
Well, but last year felt like the year to do it, and in a lot of ways it probably was. But at the same time, like, it just finally feels like we got ourselves out of an unhealthy cycle, and we have a manager in who I feel... I don't feel like I've been as confident in a manager in a long time. I really liked ABV when he came here, but like...
I haven't been as confident in a manager ever.
Yeah, this might be the best manager of the Levy era at the end of the day. And that's not necessarily a lot knock on Levy, but just in terms of how he progressed. And then we got Harry, whose
Harry's Harry, but it's still going to take some doing to prove to be a better manager than Redknapp was for Spurs.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but like at no point was I confident with Harry Redknapp. It was like, this is definitely the right guy. Like, he's got this.
I mean... And ABV was clearly what he was.
Not even after he got us into the Champions League, you weren't confident for the next season?
Well, for the next season, I guess I was kind of calm, like, okay, hope we can not embarrass ourselves in the league while getting out of the group in Champions League. But, like, I mean, I think if you go back and look at the stuff that was written on the site back in those days, it was a lot of, like, man, this is a good team, and, like, Harry Redknapp has a lot of good things, but the things he fucks up are really frustrating because they're obvious.
Like subbing on Scott Parker.
Yeah, just like the problem with Harry Redknapp is like 90% of what he does is great, and the things he screws up are things that no other professional manager would screw up.
Yes, and I think that team was sort of perfectly suited to him in terms of how he got it and whatever. But my point is, it's so refreshing to see a manager with like, oh, that's what we're doing, and we're moving. Like, I can't tell you how weird it was to watch that Spurs team in preseason and see the people up front moving around, pulling defenders
like
out of position.
You watch this team in preseason and it's like, oh, someone's actually coaching them.
Look, I believe in Pochettino. I was all for this hire. This was my first choice. I'm not trying to shit on him, but I remember seeing the Wande Ramos preseason and feeling the same way. I remember hiring ABB after.
Yeah, no, this is true.
Feeling
it's
the
like,
same way.
I thought like, Wande Ramos was a great hire and was going to be awesome for us and was really confident about him. And I was super wrong. And we were all super wrong.
Right. And there's things that, I mean, obviously Pochettino has Premier League experience and speaks English. And, you know, there's a lot of positives in his favor that Wande didn't have.
Yeah,
but
if
Wande Ramos like won shit. Like, he won trophies with a pretty big club.
But, you know, Pochettino has worked in very difficult circumstances with two different clubs. So in a lot of ways, that gives me some hope with him that he's sort of managed to find
Harry
ways
Redknapp
to work.
Built his entire career working in difficult circumstances.
Yeah, and bankrupting clubs in the South. But
yeah, and tax evasion.
Good old Rosie.
But I think that, I mean, we're Spurs, so it's always possible that we get relegated. But, I mean, I really, thanks for reminding me of Wande Ramos' dick.
Oh, good old Wande. Good old Wande. It sort of warms my
heart. I'm going to be, like, questioning myself and this team forever. So it's like, oh, no, what if he's like Ramos?
I would like to say that there is probably nothing that annoyed me more, because there's a lot of doomsayers on Twitter when it comes to Spurs, but every, like, we would have like a decent preseason game, and look, I get it's a preseason game, you don't want to take too much away from it, but like every time we'd look good at preseason, some moron would be like, oh, remember the Rome game? And it's like, oh, shut up. Like, I'm tired of people bringing that up every single time that we have a decent preseason match. Like, I get it. You don't want to take it too seriously, but like, let's not assume that we're all going to be terrible just because of that one game. Yeah.
The lesson is that people on Twitter are the worst. And with that segue, why don't we answer some questions from Twitter?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's start with one from Brian Alamillo. Is Benoit Asuakoto still alive and on the team?
As far as I know, he's alive, and he is technically contracted at Tottenham Hotspur, but I assume we will let him leave on a free transfer to wherever the hell he wants to go.
No, we're not. He's got a year left on his contract, and he's on the Aurelio Gomez
David Bentley plan.
Life insurance plan, yeah. Where Tottenham Hotspur continues their existence. I always thought that, like, Gomez wanted – this is a complete tangent, but I always thought Gomez, like, really wanted to go back to Brazil or something.
And well, he did, except none of the Brazilian teams would pay
and wages. I figured that's what it was. And when he ran out, he'd go back to Brazil. And he ends up somewhere in England. It's like at Watford. It's like...
So he played really well for Watford in their first championship game. And he's been just like dissing Spurs constantly, saying that they didn't give him a chance. And he was actually the best keeper at the team.
Okay,
so Gomez is the gift that keeps on giving.
We got Hugo Lloris now. Like, you know, I'm sure that when he's having pillow talk with Brian Ashlock at night, and Brian whispers sweet words of wisdom into his ear about what a good keeper he is, that makes him feel good. But the fact is, he since the second Brad Friedel walked in the door, he has not been the best keeper at Spurs.
So Gomez's secret, since we're talking about Gomez, the game, the first Inter Milan Champions League game, the one at San Siro, when Gomez got sent off, I turned off the TV and only saw the Bale hat trick the next day.
That's pretty good. Didn't he get sent off in like worst.
I rage quit that game because of Gomez.
Didn't he get sent off in like 10 minutes or something in that game?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the ninth or 10th minute he got sent off, and I rage quit and turned off the TV.
Ugh.
Well, you deserve it. That was maybe the best thing that's ever happened since I've been watching Spurs.
Well, I think the best thing... Well,
the Inter Milan game at home was the best thing.
Yeah, we lost that game. Like,
I don't care. That hat trick was fucking magic.
But the next game was better.
Bale was better in the next game.
The game was better. The moment was not better.
Bale was better in the next game. The moment was better in the next game because it was like probably the best individual performance I've ever seen.
All right. So moving on, because I don't want to think about Gareth Bale and his awful
That was haircut. A lot of tangents.
It's Gareth Bale's new haircut's awful.
So Benoit Asuakoto?
He's alive, but not with Spurs. He's like we said, for all the joking, he probably really is on the Aurelio Gomez life insurance plan, and he'll just go on a free transfer next season. Besides, he punched one of the players on his own team in the World Cup. Why would anyone want that guy on their team? Like,
he's passionate. Sorry.
Clearly, he fell out with ABB, which is not the problem that it was a year ago, but...
Yeah, who would ever fall out with AVB besides, I don't know, everybody who's ever played under him?
Just look at Jan Vertonghen's body language and you say just any of those letters around him. Anyway, moving on. Les Triplett asks the real question, which is a rarity in this mailbag. Who leads the squad in scoring and assists this season?
Harry Kane and both.
Don't you say it, Ben. Don't say it.
Scoring and assists, Eric Lamella.
Oh, all right, that's better.
In both?
Yeah.
I think it'll be Eric Lamella in goals and Christian Eriksen in assists.
I don't know.
Seriousness.
So, the other way around.
This is a thing. So I'm going to bring this up now. I don't know how we are for time, but whatever. One thing I've noticed through preseason is that when Lamella's on the pitch, we
magic
haven't really
happens.
Seen Eriksen yeah. as involved in the final third as he was all season.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know, he kind of took more of a backseat facilitator role to Lamella, who Lamella functioned in the final third. And then when Lamella went off and Eriksen was out by himself, he did the things that Eriksen does.
And we've seen Lamella shifting into the center of the pitch a lot more than any of us expected.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think, I mean, maybe this is just a growing pains thing that they just haven't worked out quite how to play together. But it feels like Eriksen hasn't taken as involved a role in the final third
with
Lamella.
Between learning to play with each other and the fact that it's the preseason, so I don't expect them to be showing us all their tricks, I'm willing to give it time. And I think that's like, if Spurs are going to get near the top four this year, it's going to be because Eriksen, Lamella, Soldado, these guys sort of have much better years. And especially if Lamella and Eriksen blow up, who knows what this team looks like. I mean,
I think we could also potentially see Emmanuel Adebayor have a really nice, like, 12-goal, 12-assist, special kind of season.
I thought Adebayor was gone, but by all accounts, he seems to have done... he seems to be a happy and motivated member of the squad.
And, it looks like he works pretty well with Eriksen and Lamella.
Yeah, and Soldado, if you want to put two up top.
We have a lot of options.
And Harry Kane. I think we got a very interesting attack, just because we don't have a set striker. I think this is going to be a really interesting year from Spurs. I think this is a potentially very dangerous attack, very difficult attack. It does a lot of different things, but that's a lot of moving parts. And like Ben said, Eriksen hasn't looked super great in the preseason, probably partly because there's so much. We've seen so much shifting along the front. I don't think we ever saw anything like that from ABB. With just
yeah,
so many
players
guys.
Moving. What's that?
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, but exchanging, moving out. Just really a lot of that. And, it'll be an interesting attack.
It's really sad that it's like a new thing for us to watch games and be like, hey, players are doing shit.
Our last two managers were so like, it's just go out there, these are your positions, do it. Now, Harry obviously gave him more freedom, but it was still like, this is where you play. Go play that area.
Well, and that worked when you have a Crouch to foe strike pairing.
Or Gareth Bale, Raphael Vandervaart, before he got fat. And,
got violent.
And
it doesn't, yeah, it doesn't work with the guys we had last year. If you're, had this really, rigid 4-2-3-1 where people don't move around. Like, it was horrible. And I'm really happy that we don't have to watch that anymore because it was crap.
So, Chris Hammond asks us for a quick synopsis of the Forum Transfer FIFA investigation. I will just direct you to the Twitter hashtag Illuminati. that should explain it all for you.
So, basically, I think people remember this last year when Porto got around this with the Jean Moutinho, swap deal thing with Monaco, and they got away with it. So, I think that Swansea's probably going to get away with this, and that Utrecht is probably just screwed.
Yeah, it's a real shame, but when you mess with the Masons, this is what happens. Let's see.
So we got one. Matt Fenn says, make a bold prediction.
About anything?
Anything for Tottenham this season.
I predict Roberto Soldado will score more than 5 goals.
Open play?
Yeah.
I predict that Yunus Kabul will stay healthy and start at least 25 Premier League games.
I predict that Kyle Naughton gets over 15 starts.
That actually seems reasonable.
Which would make me really sad. Let's see. Oh, my God. Random tangent is spamming our question feed.
We got some real Bantz questions here.
Oh, Bantz questions are the best.
BD Kent with the Bantz question. Will Tottenham ever stand a chance winning anything now that Hoddle has joined up with Redknapp at QPR?
No.
Never. They're going to overtake. We're screwed.
I think QPR are garbage, by the way. I know they've bought well. You can rationally explain to me why QPR is going to be decent.
Stephen Caulker, baby.
First of all, Stephen Caulker is mediocre in the extreme. The fact that fuck you. Stephen Caulker. There's a reason he got sold to a team.
Yeah, Stephen Caulker's not good.
Stephen Caulker's like all right. Okay?
I hate both of you.
Yeah, whatever. But my point is, all I will ever be able to think about with QPR is how they looked in that promotion playoff. And all I can think is just like, they shouldn't be up this year.
So I think that QPR come from the basic championship school of, we have this huge guy, let's kick the ball at his head and he'll probably score 12 goals. I think that Charlie Austin is going to be a lot like what Grant Holt was for Norwich when they came up. And that's going to be kind of make the difference for them. I also think QPR central midfielders are all pretty good.
Yeah, I just.
But if they're going to play, I mean, if they're going to play 3-5-2 and they don't actually have a left wing back, I think it's going to be pretty funny to watch.
They just should have steamrolled the championship last year, and that they had to go through the playoff finals was hilarious.
It really sucked that Derby didn't win that game because they
should have.
They were definitely a better team. Their midfield is really good, and it was a shame that they didn't go up.
I mean, Rob Green kept QPR in that game. And
then, God, Rob Green.
Yeah.
Green, yeah.
I mean, maybe you don't deserve to make the top – or make the Premier League if Rob Green keeps you out of it. But
Leicester I love, by the way, just because I think that their wingers are all really awesome. And that's kind of going to be like the signature of their team, is you're going to see their wingers just doing crazy stuff, making individual runs, and I think that they are good enough to keep them up.
Is he an EDL member too?
Who?
Is Leicester in the EDL, or am I thinking of someone else?
Well, I know Stoke is like a big EDL town.
Oh, good. I like how we, on Wheel Dealer Radio, where we accuse young English players of being members of the English defense.
Okay, so Will Hughes, we've talked about Will Hughes before. Will Hughes recently unfollowed the EDL on Twitter. I feel like somebody told him that wasn't cool.
Somebody had to tell him that. Just,
but somebody had to tell
just
him.
Just a heads up. Hey, Will.
By the way, this is a bad look.
Joshua Taylor asks us, why is Lewis Holtby bigger than Jesus?
I don't even understand this joke.
Lewis Holtby is not bigger than anything. He's a tiny man. Haven't you seen him? He wouldn't fit on the cross.
Is there anyone who can stop Skipjack and his nefarious cropping, posting, and proliferating of Harry Kane pictures?
No. There is no one who will stop
I can't stop him from doing it on Twitter. I can't stop him from doing it on the site, but I usually don't.
Why don't you like Harry Kane pictures? Very handsome.
So,
if you've never listened to Harry Kane talk, that's what it sounds
Harry
like.
Harry Kane sounds so stupid. He is a lovely man. But Harry Kane sounds so stupid. In every picture of him, his mouth is just hanging open like a flycatcher. It's just like he looks and sounds so dumb. I mean, if he keeps scoring goals and making assists and pulling defenders out of position, that's great. But
someone wants to know what you guys are drinking.
I hate him so much.
Let's see.
We're not – stop. No. We are not a podcast where we talk about what alcohol we're consuming.
Well, I have been.
Well, you are you, Ben, so that goes without saying. So, Reno Wallabout asks, Harry Kane, Skipjack, and Andrew Dice Clay walk into a bar. What happens next, and why will Spurs finish fourth?
God, Andrew Dice Clay is really not funny.
Hey, the Dice Man cometh.
Just, like, really, I mean, I don't know if any form of popular culture entertainment has ever become dated faster than Andrew Dice Clay.
But he had that renaissance on Entourage.
Oh,
I've never seen an episode of Entourage.
There is nothing that is not sad about that sentence.
Yeah, that show's terrible. But someone decided that it would be a really good idea to cast Andrew Dice Clay in a recurring role in a late season of Entourage, which just is a testament for how bad that fucking show is.
God, that's awful.
Yeah. This is in the last decade. It's terrible.
Now, Joshua Taylor also asks, are the numerous clicks you hear during the podcast an SOS from Skipjack disguised to avoid his Illuminati handlers? There's a lot of questions about me in this mailbag, actually, which is a little concerning.
It's no one who hates you.
Yeah, everyone does
tweeted out the mailbag thing.
Everyone does hate me, which is fair enough. But I would never try to get away from my Illuminati handlers.
So one more before we're done with this. As much as Ben hates the wrestling question, somebody asked.
Well, I'm out. See you guys.
Somebody asked what era of pro wrestling this current Spurs team is.
Kevin, you want to start or should I?
Well, I think that I would call them this era of pro wrestling, and that it's like the really like fun, high energy level performer. But would anybody call it the best that they've ever seen? Probably not.
I think we're NXT.
Yeah,
people
that's about
have adjusted
right.
their expectations, but we could still look really fun and really put on a show. But every now and then we have a bad week,
and we buy the cool, like, you know, semi underground but not quite underground young guys that everybody loves.
Is Eric Lamella Kevin Steen or El Generico?
I think that Christian Eriksen is El Generico.
I think Spurs are the pallbearer. That's all I got, because I haven't watched wrestling since I was a fucking child, which is when you should stop watching wrestling.
You know, if I had any editing abilities, instead of the regular outro for the show, I would just play the NWO theme. So just imagine that in your head. Just imagine the NWO theme here. I think that does it for us tonight. We're all looking forward to actually watching Spurs play a competitive match this weekend. Hopefully you are, too.
And lose 5-0 to West Ham?
Stop. Just, no, that won't happen. I can't. I want to beat West Ham so I can start making cup final jokes about them again. And on that note, for Kevin McCauley and Lennon's Eyebrow, I am Skipjack, and this has been Wheeler Dealer Radio. Come on, you Spurs.